Before we look at our text today, which is Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, I want us to make a quick review of what we've looked at off and on over recent months, and that is, how does God plan to grow His church in the power of the Holy Spirit? What is God's ways? Not man's ways, but God's ways. We've been looking at that, and to help us, I want to show a picture here, of a rainbow that will give a perspective here. This was one of those wonderful spring rainbows that came a few years ago and shot this right in our backyard. And what we know about a rainbow is it has different colors. And yet when you look at a rainbow, it together makes a whole. And I'd like us to think about that in terms of the synchristic nature of all these principles that we've been talking about, that they really dovetail one with another. We've looked at there's two basic foundations on how God builds His church. You know, he raises up leaders. You see this throughout Scripture. Leaders that embody the kingdom of God. And then out of the leaders come congregations that likewise embody the kingdom of God. Faith in Christ and moving in obedience to the Spirit and the Word of God. But then you have these, what we call dance steps with the Spirit, because God, through His Spirit, always takes the initiative, and then we respond. And then He takes the initiative, and we respond. And that's the dance steps. And we saw the steps. That the foundation is love. Everything to be done in love. Then we saw the importance of intercessory prayer, as the Lord leads us to pray and invite Him into what he is showing us, what He's doing. And then we talked about faith, clothed with obedience, that as God initiates, we take steps of faith. And we also saw about how we respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He gives divine guidance. And then we saw also how we need to discern. You know, there are other voices. There's a voice of our flesh, a voice of the world, the voice of the devil, so we need to discern what is of the Lord, what is not of the Lord. And then a couple of weeks ago, we saw that we are to welcome and be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And last week, you remember, we looked at Kairos moments. Those wonderful times, when ripe times, when the Spirit of God is at work and we are invited to step into those times. And it's like a rainbow. Love is always there, but they kind of intertwine. These are not consecutive steps that are always taken in that order. It's all kind of there. It's a beautiful thing when we see people, the people of God, responding to His leading. But what we look at today is one last thing under this growing the church, the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is there are obstacles that we have to be aware of. There are interruptions. There are rabbit trails, and we can get detracted. And so we have to really discern what those obstacles are, and that's what we're looking at today, because the text we look at is one where a Galatian church, it started off great, then it got derailed. And we want to learn from that, because no church and no Christian is immune to the possibility of obstacles getting away of an effective walk with the Lord. So let's hear God's word, and I will begin with the reading of Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? There has been more than one congregation that has been derailed by pastors. Pastors who have either taught false doctrine, pastors who've had moral failure, or pastors who simply were so caught up in their prideful agenda of what they were building that they weren't concerned about what God was building. There have also been congregations, more than one, that have been derailed by congregants, members of the congregation who maybe did not follow the Spirit but were led astray. It can happen in many ways from many different sources. I want to do a little case study here and show you a clip from a church that is being Spirit-led, Spirit-filled in Madison, Indiana. Madison, Indiana is a small city on the banks of the Ohio River, South Indiana. And the Assembly of God Church, they call themselves MAG, Madison Assembly of God. I want you to hear the invitation from their pastor that they have on their website. I listened to that this week.
Hi, I'm Peter Jowdery of Madison Assembly of God, or as we call it, MAG. I'd like to welcome you home to MAG. Come as you are and celebrate the good things that God is doing. Our upbeat contemporary services are family-oriented, and our congregation is multi-generational and multiracial. In addition to our main service, we host Kidstown in our Family Life Center, and we also have a nursery, Christian education classrooms, and a kitchen, as well as our 180 youth facility, complete with an arcade, auditorium, and cafe. At MAG, we're casual in our appearance, we're contemporary in our approach, but we're serious about our mission. You matter at MAG. MAG has served tens of thousands from our compassion ministries and outreach activities, and we're committed to serving our community.
We love MAG because there's something to do for everyone in our family. There are many ways to get involved, and we love our pastor.
Madison Assembly of God, today, tomorrow, forever.
I don't know how many of you may be planning to move to Madison in the next year or two, but if you do, I could recommend going to that church. However, it hasn't always been like that. In fact, when MAG was first founded some years ago, there were factions even at its founding. And this is an Assembly of God church, which by doctrinal definition is to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church. But there was a particularly one small group of lay leaders that saw themselves as the gatekeepers. And the issue there wasn't doctrinal, but it was control. And over the years, in the very city of Madison itself, this church became known as a pastor-killer church. Pastors would come, and they'd be welcomed with smiles, and after a couple of years, if a pastor was advocating something or said something that this particular group didn't like, they would begin an underhanded critical campaign, you know, kind of to bring a divisiveness in leadership, and it became a toxic environment, and the pastors would leave. And that happened, you know, again and again to where this was the reputation the church had in the community. Today it's different. Today they are following the Lord's leading, and there's life again. And I want to come back a little bit later and share what happened that turned this around. They were a church that had squelched the Holy Spirit and were not cooperating with the Spirit because obstacles had disrupted the dance. And that's what we see in Galatians here. In fact, it's been an issue through 2,000 years of church history, which is why we need to be aware of obstacles that can come up. Paul, in this letter here, he does something a little different. Usually he makes his theological arguments from logic and scripture, and that's not absent in Galatians. But in this case, in our particular text, he's focusing on experience of the Galatians. Now, he begins with a question he asks them, a personal question. He's basically saying, in our contemporary language, who pulled the wool over your eyes? Who's bewitched you? Who's thrown you off course? Well, we know the answer from the rest of Galatians. The answer is the Judaizers. Now, who they were is that when Christianity first began, you remember all the initial converts came out of Judaism. They were Jews who embraced Christ. But gradually, because Christ came for all people groups, many Gentiles began also putting their faith in Christ. And what had happened was that decision had to be made, you know. Do the Gentile converts, do they need to also follow the law of Moses to be right with God? And as you can see from Acts 15, the answer clearly came no. They need to put their faith in Jesus Christ and to follow him. But they don't have to keep all the Old Testament law of Moses. Well, the Judaizers were a group that disagreed with that. They believed that Gentile converts also needed to follow the law of Moses. And after the church at Galatia had been started by Paul on his missionary journey, and then he'd moved on, they'd started great. But then the Judaizers came behind him, And many of the Galatian churches now were being misled by the Judaizers. They were embracing this idea, oh, you have to also keep the law of Moses. Paul says in verse 1, he says, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Our very faith is based on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which is what we celebrate here at the Lord's Supper, and his great resurrection. You take away the cross of Christ, you take away Christianity. And what Paul is saying is, I've made it real clear that Jesus Christ is totally sufficient for our relationship with God. We don't have to do something and earn our salvation. We trust Jesus. He's totally sufficient. That's the cross. Well, then he goes on and he asks some rhetorical questions that have to do with the life and the Spirit, which is what we've been talking about. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that brings us to Christ and sustains that. And so he asks one in verse 2, which is about their conversion experience. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Now, of course, we don't base our faith in Christ on experience, but a genuine faith in Christ inevitably leads to experience, an experience of transformation, a change in worldview. And it's apparent here that many of the Galatians, when Paul had come and preached the gospel, they had had dramatic conversions. I mean, they had, you know, just been enveloped in the Father's love, and they had been forgiven, and they knew at that time it was by the Spirit of God that all this was made real to them. They hadn't heard about the law of Moses yet. They knew it was the Spirit of God. Paul's saying, could you start by the Spirit, but now abandon the Spirit? And so then he goes to verse 3, and that's about maturity. When he says, are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Your goal is being fruitful for Christ and maturity, like we talked earlier about. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us grow and mature in Christ, not because we, you know, kind of turn away from the Spirit of God and begin following the law of Moses. And then there's an interesting question in verse 4, where he says, have you suffered so much for nothing, if it was really for nothing? The implication here is that being Gentile-backed Christians, that although they experienced great joy in the Lord when they came to faith in Christ, they also began experiencing persecution from Jews. And these Judaizers are basically saying, listen, if you follow the law of Moses, you won't be persecuted. You'll be okay. You won't be suffering. And Paul's saying, have you suffered for nothing? Today, as many of you know, around the world, millions of Christians are suffering and being persecuted, whether by Hindus or Muslims or Jews or secularists, because these Christians believe that Jesus Christ is totally sufficient. And we need to believe that too, because it's truth. And that's what he's saying here. And then finally, he points to the reality of miracles. He says, does God give you this Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you've heard? Again, is it by faith in the Lord or because of actions you do of obeying the law? They'd obviously experienced many miracles here in the church. And Paul is saying these are done by the Spirit of God working through believers. It's not because of the works of obeying the law. So Paul is making it real clear that the very foundation of our faith, our very life, is dependent upon faith in Jesus Christ crucified and risen, and that the Christian life and the life of a church is to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And yet every Christian and every church is vulnerable to having that Spirit-filled life being squelched or diverted because of obstacles. I'm going to take kind of an unusual way here to illustrate how the type, because there's different types of obstacles. But before we look at some of them, I want us to look at an old clip. Now, those of you who are younger, we're not going to mention what cutoff age, but I did talk to one of our young folks today. They'd never heard what we're about to see. It's a song from way back when. It's called The Tennessee Waltz by Patti Page. Now, but listen to the words. Listen to the words of this. And we'll see why I'm doing this.
dancing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend I happened to see introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee waltz.
Okay, quick quiz here, since I told you to listen to the words. She was obviously dancing with her loved one, but what happened? What interrupted that?
An old friend
I happened to see, and I introduced her to my darling, and my friend stole my sweetheart from me. But this, I think, illustrates, you know, the danger of obstacles to the dance of the Spirit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that when we come to faith in Christ, we are a new creation, right? The old has passed away, the new has come. We are now walking with a new worldview. We're walking in step with the Spirit. Paul says that in Galatians 5:25. Keep in step with the Spirit. This is how we walk, this is how we grow. But we still have the old nature, our old nature that is vulnerable, and it becomes like a, quote, old friend that wants to kind of interject itself into the dance. I'll explain four different obstacles that we have to watch where the old nature is vulnerable. First is a personality cult, personalities. We find that in churches where people become more enamored with a person rather than Christ himself. Paul faced this. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the church at Corinth. There had been converts that had come under the teaching of different ones, Paul, Apollos, and Peter. And instead, and all three of those guys were preaching the same gospel, but the people in Corinth become enamored with who they came to faith under. And so there was disunity, because they were focusing on the human people. And Paul says, that's ridiculous. Our life is in Christ. You know, today, we find this issue. You know, there are mega church pastors. Many of them are very faithful to the word, but people get so kind of devoted to them. Even in smaller churches, it can happen. The tendency is because our old nature is vulnerable to idolatry. And so we have that old pattern of wanting to focus our worship, our allegiance to something that's not God. And it can take on a very spiritual form. So we have to watch. That can be an obstacle where our focus is not on the Lord, but on some human person. Second obstacle is a relational obstacle. If you read in Galatians 5, you find that because so many in the Galatian church had gotten caught up in this Judaizing false doctrine, that they had lost the dance floor of love. And they were bickering with each other and snarling at each other, and it made a very unpleasant situation there. And Paul calls them to come back and let the Holy Spirit bring fruit. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 5, in their lives based on love and caring for one another. And again, that's the old nature where we are prideful and self-focused. A third area where an obstacle is doctrinal, false doctrine. And that becomes an obstacle. That's what the Judaizers are doing here. They were bringing in another gospel. You know, it still talked about Jesus, but it wasn't ultimately faith in Christ alone. And this can take many different forms. You see, God does never have to worry. God doesn't have to worry about making people spiritual, because we're made in the image of God. We're inherently spiritual. Most people in the world worship something because we are inherently spiritual. But we are also sinful. And as a result, we human beings, and this is that old friend, that old nature, we tend to want to make a God made in our image that we can then control. We can take pride in how our religion works. The Judaizers were guilty of this. They were wanting to say, this is how we can, they wouldn't use the word, but manipulate God. As long as we keep all the law, then we're right with God. But the genuine faith is simply that. It's a faith in Christ. He's done it all. And we trust him. And it's a matter of grace. God does the work. And then we follow the Spirit. And so Paul is saying, listen, you started with the Spirit. You started on the right track. But then you got derailed by this false doctrine. You need to come back. Now, there's one other dimension, one other major obstacle we need to mention. And this factor is at work in these other three. And that's the devil. The devil is at work to promote counterfeits. And even in churches, the devil will look for footholds, places where there's maybe bitterness or pride, spiritual pride or whatever it can be, a foothold to get in and kind of create a crack, a division, a false doctrine. Counterfeits can come in so many ways. And here's the dangerous thing. As I was looking this over, it's kind of scary, because I thought, I know the Lord has worked through me to help build this church and bring people to Christ. But I also know I'm vulnerable, that the enemy can also work through me if I get off track. And if you need biblical proof of this, look at the Apostle Peter, Matthew 16. He could go from one moment being inspired by the Father in heaven and saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God, you're the Messiah, right on. And a few verses later, he'd become an instrument of Satan. When he tells Jesus, no, you're not going to go to the cross. That's not God's plan for you. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of man, not of God. We're all vulnerable to that. But here's the good news. When we humble ourselves, and when we say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow your word. Holy Spirit, fill me, guide me, teach me. Because the Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. When we humble ourselves, he will point out those areas where the old nature is cut in and has derailed our walk with Christ. He will point that out to individuals, to churches, so that we can repent and get back on the right track. And that's what happened with MAG, Madison Assembly of God. What happened was Peter Jowdry, who you heard here, he came a few years ago, was welcomed with open arms, and sure enough, the pattern was as usual. After a couple of years, this little controlling group found something they didn't like about him and began that work to try to get him removed. But in this case, Peter knew that there were some other leaders in the church who were beginning to see what was happening, beginning to be awakened that this was not honoring to the Lord. And so they stood their ground. They said, no, we want to move with the Lord. And as they stood their ground, this other group, seeing that they couldn't bully this pastor away and get their way, they left. And they took a third of the church with them. They went down the street and started another church. But here's what the MAG church did. They repented before God. They said, we haven't been running this church the way the Lord wants us to run. We haven't been keeping in step with the Spirit. And we need to make things right. So in October of 2012, they had a repentance reconciliation service. They invited back previous pastors and their families to come back to the church. And there they asked forgiveness of these pastors. They washed their feet. This was being Spirit-led. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does, brings repentance and renewal. And since then, yes, there's still wounds to be healed, there's still stuff to be done, but now there's life flowing again in that church, as you could tell from that little video clip. So we know we are vulnerable, but we know also that we can be restored in step with the Spirit when we repent. What I see happening in so many cases, as I hear about this, In fact, I don't think any congregation is immune to this, because this is how the enemy works. The enemy works by counterfeit. And so just as we have the Holy Spirit, the genuine third person of the Trinity guiding the church, there's also the counterfeit, which we can call a religious spirit, a Jezebel spirit. It's a counterfeit spirit that has all the spiritual veneer, but it contradicts the way of the cross. And I would like you to look in your bulletin, because I put in there in a little insert, looks like this, and it contrasts the religious spirit versus the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice like that number one, the religious spirit hardens hearts so that ungodly responses such as bitterness are justified and seen as okay. You know, but God makes it very clear in His Word that we're not to be bitter. We're to receive grace to forgive. So the Holy Spirit brings freedom by allowing us to forgive and giving us grace for that. And on down, you can take a look at this. Now, what I want us to do is we come to the Lord's Supper here. This represents the very foundation of our faith. This is what it's all about. That's what we remind each other, that Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. He broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. This is my life I'm giving up for you." He took the cup after supper. He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus is saying, "This is life. That I give myself up for you, and you put your faith in me, because my blood is shed for forgiveness of sins." And then, of course, He rose from the dead. So everything, all the blessings we have from God who created us, comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, by our faith in Him, by God's grace. And it's the Holy Spirit that mediates that, all those blessings. So as we come to the communion table, we mention here every time that this is an open table. That is, you don't have to be a member of our church or denomination to participate. But we do ask that you have a genuine faith in Christ. This is not a little supper time or something like this. And some of you may not be ready right now, which is okay. You're here and you're hearing about the gospel. But this is for those who say, "Yes, my total trust and my standing before God is totally based on Jesus Christ and what He has done." That's what this is about. We're instructed in God's Word to examine our hearts as we come to the Lord's table. And I think this morning, a good way to do it would be for you to just take this little slip of paper. I'm going to give us a couple of minutes and just look through this. I can guarantee you, because I know from my own experiences, none of us will be able to look on the left side at the religious spirit and see us totally innocent. All of us at times have dabbled in getting caught up into that type of a mindset. And if you find that there's something that resonates there, what a better time could there be than right now just to repent and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I realize that's speaking to my heart." And then invite the Holy Spirit to do the opposite, the work of grace. So let's take a couple minutes and work on this time of confession and repentance as the Spirit of God would lead as we look over this sheet. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask Your forgiveness where we have allowed our old nature to be used, whether by the enemy or just by our own will, to cut into the dance of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And we ask Your forgiveness. We ask that not only personally where we have been convicted, we ask that corporately here at FTPC. Where we have failed to grasp Your leading and have in any way become critical or grumbling or self-affirming or anything that is dishonoring You, we ask Your forgiveness. And we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that as we come to the communion table, that is what we know we receive when we come with humility. Your blood is sufficient to cover all of our sins. Your grace is sufficient. And we thank you for that, that as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the Lord's Supper, where we're reminded again and again that the foundation of our faith and the incredible grace by which we are saved, by which we live. So, Holy Spirit, we again submit to you. We put ourselves in a cooperation, a spirit of dance with you, to let you lead us and to guide us, personally and corporately, for your glory, the glory of our great triune God. And to that end, we pray that you would set aside the elements here of the bread and the cup as emblematic of the grace by which we're saved and by which we live, to refocus our hearts, our love, upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The bread represents the body of our Lord broken for each one of us. So feel free to partake of the bread as you receive it. The cup represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins. It's by this cup that we are made one in Christ, the body of Christ. I encourage you to hold on to the cup until all have been served. We will partake together as one body in Christ. Jesus said, "Drink of it, all of you." Let's pray together. Mighty God, we thank you again for the time you've given us to be able to come together and worship as a people. And it's kind of, again, like a football huddle. We've come together. We've remembered who we are, whose team we are on, in the kingdom of God. And as we get ready to go out to our different assignments this coming week, the plays that you give us, may we run those plays because we are cooperating with you. May we work together with you, each of us on our respective assignments, but working for the cause of Christ, as we then get ready to come back again next week and huddle and be renewed and strengthened to be able to go out and serve. Thank you for that rhythm, Lord. We want to continue to walk with you in the Spirit. So we pray you would make us very discerning where that old nature wants to kind of interrupt and get us going in the wrong direction. And may we be ready and willing to repent with a contrite heart, and to get back in step with you. And thank you that you're a merciful, gracious God who understands. We love you for that. Love you for everything because of who you are. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.